Michelle Bentham here with Michelle Bentham Creates. Welcome to my podcast and my video blog. I'm so excited that you're joining me. This is episode 14 of the podcast, and we are currently journeying through the Gospels together. We are reading Matthew chapter 8 right now. We've read about half of Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to jump in and read the rest of the chapter. We have just read the passage where the centurion comes to Jesus and asks him if he would just speak the words to heal his servant. He doesn't feel worthy to have Jesus come to his house, so he just asks Jesus, would you just speak the words? And if you would just speak the words, I recognize authority. My troops obey me even when I'm not with them. So if you would just speak the words, my servant would be healed. And Jesus was marveling at this man's faith. He found his faith to be awe-inspiring. And so Jesus spoke the words to the centurion, and that's where we're going to pick up the story in verse 13 today. So if you haven't read Matthew chapter 8 for yourself, I want to encourage you to do so. Before we read, I'm just going to take a moment to pray and ask the Lord, invite him to come and speak to us today. Lord, I just invite you to come and speak to us, your servants. We're listening. We're your sheep, God, and we know your voice. We're your children, and we're happy to sit at our Father's lap and learn from him. And so here we are, sitting at your lap in the pages of Scripture, desiring to be filled by you. Speak to us, God, because your servants are listening. We are so grateful for you, Father. We are so grateful for you, Jesus. We are so grateful for you, Holy Spirit, because you bring life to us in immeasurable ways. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into this, I just want to say, if you haven't been to my website, michellebenthamcreates.com, stop by there and subscribe. It's going to update you when I upload videos to the website. It's also going to let you know when I've written something and posted it to the website. And it's just going to keep you connected to things that I'm doing. I'm an inspired artist and communicator, so you can find my art there at the website as well. There's a link for the art. You can just go browse through the art archives and look at some of the things that I've created. You can also contact me there. There's a contact button and as well as a subscribe button. And you can just learn more about me, my ministry, and what God's been doing in my life for the last 10 to 15 years. I'm so grateful that you're online with me today. If you haven't read Matthew chapter 8, again, push pause. Take a moment to read it for yourself. Then jump back on and listen and follow along with us. What do you say? So in Matthew chapter 13, it says, then Jesus turned to the centurion. Okay, so he has just proclaimed awe at this man's faith. And then he turns to him and he says, you may go home, for it is as you say it is. In other words, it is as you say it is. I have the authority to heal your servant by speaking only the words that are necessary for him to be healed. It is as you believe. And the officer's servant was healed right then. Do you hear that? Because we just read a few steps back that there was more people that were healed, right? The leper was healed right away. So many were healed. And he's talking about the motivation of our hearts still, right? Because it's the motivation of our heart. Why are we seeking Jesus? Do we want him to just do stuff for us? Or do we want him to be a part of our lives and to come in and speak to our hearts and transform us from the inside out? And healing is definitely a part of that. Physical healing is definitely a part of that. Here's what the note in the Voice Bible says. What happens next seems to embody the officer's wise opinion about authority. Over and over, Jesus shows just what his authority means. Jesus's touch heals. Jesus went to Peter's house, and there he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in the bed. She was sick and burning up with fever. Jesus touched her hand, and then she was healed, and the fever vanished. She got up from the bed and began to wait on him. Toward nighttime, many people who were possessed by demons were brought to Jesus, and he said one word of command, and drove the demons out, healing everyone who was sick. Now, this draws an important parallel. Sometimes illness is connected to a spirit of infirmity. Because when he drove the demons out, it healed everyone who was sick. These miraculous healings fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah had predicted. He took our infirmities upon himself and he bore our diseases. And that's found in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Jesus saw that a crowd had gathered around him and he gave orders to go to the other side of the sea. Just then a scribe comes up to him and the scribe says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Foxes have dens in which to sleep and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Then the disciple say to Jesus, "Jesus, before I do the things you've asked me to do, I must first bury my father." And Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." You know, the note here says, Jesus say, "Fair enough, you must of course bury your father. Just catch up with me when you are done." No, this is one of the strange and radical things Jesus brings about. Our families are no longer our families, and our deepest bonds are not those of blood. Our family now is found in the bonds of our fellowship made possible by Jesus. You know, we've experienced some difficulty in our family relationships because of our faith. We just have. There are times when our family doesn't understand why we have a high commitment to serving our fellow believers at church, why we need to do the things we do as professing believers in Christ. But we're learning how to honor our family and not offend them while we continue to pursue and serve the thing that Jesus has put us on this earth to do, to walk confidently in our identity and hopefully transform lives around us, including those of our family. Just a bit ago, we heard Jesus say that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Those closest to you might be the people who understand the least. But Jesus understood that. It was his brothers and his sisters who came to him and said, "What are you doing? Who are you to be teaching in the synagogues?" They just didn't understand. And sometimes our families just don't understand. But that doesn't mean you need to shrink back from who you are. That means that you need to, with wisdom and great care and with love, demonstrate God's love to them while you continue to go about the business of your Father in heaven. Is that good? And then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Out of nowhere, a vicious storm blew over the sea. Right now we have thunderstorms that are moving through Texas. They're going to continue to move through here over the course of the next evening and well through today and throughout the next week. I think we're going to have some pretty severe weather out here. And there was a time in my life when a storm came on and I would be quaking in my boots. When I was a little bitty girl in elementary school, I can remember them taking us out into the middle of the building. There weren't many safe places in our school, but they would take us into this middle of the building, which was this big pit area, and we would take our textbooks and we would lay down on the floor and cover our heads, and there were skylights above us, and this horrible storm blew through. And it had tornadoes in it, but we didn't get hit by the tornado. But hail came through those skylights, and it made me fearful of storms. It made me afraid that I was going to get hurt. And ever since I was that little girl, I was afraid of storms. And then as an adult, I was in a car accident during a storm. And storms just became something that gripped my heart with fear. But how many of you know that fear is not of the Lord? Not the kind of fear that makes you anxious and makes it hard for you to breathe and function. I can remember storms coming when my kids were at all different stages of growing up. And I would be whoop, 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 sounding the tornado drill sound. And we'd be cleaning out the closet and running in the closet because there might be a tornado. They just laugh about that now. But it wasn't funny to me then. I was serious. I wanted them to be safe. I wanted to be safe. And so here we'd be cleaning out the closet whether we was having a tornado or not. And I just have to say I've never been in a tornado. I've been to areas that are close, but I've never been in a tornado. As a matter of fact, there have been a few times when the weather forecasters were predicting that a storm was going to go right over my house, and I was hiding in the closet under my clothes, reading the book of Jeremiah, proclaiming the promises of God and declaring that storm was going to go around us, and you could just watch it track right around us on that radar. Now, I believe God can move a storm, and I believe He did. There was another time I was at a retreat with some women, and they asked me to pray because some storms were coming through, and we had some outside activities, and they didn't want us to miss the outside activities, so they asked me to pray. So I went ahead and prayed, and I prayed that God would just would quiet the storm and move it around us so that we wouldn't be affected by it. And they were watching on their phones as I was praying, and they said that little storm just went doot, 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 went right around where we were at that retreat center. God can move the storm. It wasn't my prayer that moved the storm. It was the God that I prayed to that moved the storm. I believe God can calm the waters. He can steal our hearts. He can do all of these things and bring peace to us in the greatest storms of all. It says the waves were lapping up over the boat and threatening to overtake it. Yet Jesus was asleep, frightened, and not to mention confused. How could anyone sleep through this? The disciples woke him up. Disciples said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And Jesus said, "Please, what are you so afraid of, you of little faith?" Jesus got up and told the wind and the waves to calm down, and they did. And the sea became still and calm once again. And the disciples were astonished. You know, they've been watching him heal the sick and cast out demons, and they're astonished that the wind and the waves obey him for real. Jesus got up, told the wind and the waves to calm down, and they did, and the disciples were astonished. And the disciples said, "Who is this man? What sort of man is he that the sea and the winds listen to him?" Do you know that the creation has to respond to the Creator's voice? It's a good word. You can grab a hold of it. The creation has to respond to the Creator's voice. There's something in you as a created human being that has to respond to your Creator's voice. Are you responding to your Creator's voice? That's a good question. Eventually, Jesus came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gadarenes. There, men who lived near the tombs were possessed by demons and came out to the seaside and met Jesus. They were flailing about so violent that they obstructed the path of anyone who came their way. The demons, screaming at Jesus, said, "Why are you here? Have you come to torture us even before the judgment day, O Son of God?" They identified Jesus as the Son of God. The Pharisees in the temple cannot identify this man as the Son of God. They're just threatened by him. But these demons fear him. Because he is the Son of God. He's the Son of the living God. That's a powerful moment. And everybody's bearing witness to it in this moment. That this is the Son of God. His disciples bear witness to it. Do they get it? Do they see it? Lord, don't ever let me miss a moment to recognize the presence and the power of Jesus in my life. In the lives of those around me. You know, I also wrote here in my margin that the first clue that I'm offended is that I'm defensive. That I'm defensive. Am I trying to defend myself or deflect something off of me? There's a good chance that I've become offended if I'm doing that. If I'm having a constant conversation in my mind trying to justify what just happened from my perspective. Am I trying to win people into my side of the argument? Am I? If I am, I'm off. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm offended. It says, a ways off, though still visible, was a large herd of pigs eating. The demon said, "If you cast us out of the bodies of these men, do send us into that herd of pigs." And Jesus said, "Very well then, go." And the demons flew out of the bodies of the men, and they set up on the pigs, and every last pig rushed over to a steep bank into the sea and drowned. The pig herders, who were totally undone, as you can imagine, took off and they headed straight for town where they told everyone what they've just seen. You know, when Jesus shows up and he does something miraculous, you have to tell somebody. Even if he just took your livelihood and drove it over the edge of a cliff because he cast demons into your pigs. You got to tell somebody what you just saw. As you can imagine, the pig herders were probably just a little bit upset with Jesus at that moment because they just taken he had just taken their livelihood and run it off a cliff. So they're telling everybody in town, you won't believe what just happened, but this man just came and cast these demons into our pigs, and those pigs, they just ran off the cliff and went crazy and threw themselves in the water, and they died. They died. And it says, and so in verse 34, the last verse of this chapter, and so the whole town came out to see Jesus for themselves, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their area. My note in my Bible says that I wrote, sometimes people don't understand what Jesus is doing or why he's doing it. And rather than trust that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, as the prophet Isaiah said, they choose to reject him because of their own perception of what's happening. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe there's a storm blowing through your life like the storm's blowing through Texas tonight. Maybe there is. Maybe you just need Jesus to come and sit beside you and comfort you and hold you and soothe you with his love. I pray right now that he would make himself known to you and make himself real to you in this very moment. Perhaps you, like me, have had an encounter this week where you were praying, oh God, I just don't want to die. And you know, mine was a little bit of a half-hearted joke. I wasn't quite convinced that I'd physically die, but I was quite convinced that my body could malfunction at the junction, if you know what I mean, when I showed up at Camp Gladiator on Wednesday. By the way, I'm still not dead. But last weekend, whenever I made the commitment to do Camp Gladiator, my friend who was working the table, she works for one of the trainers here in town, she said, when you come back to fill out your paperwork after lunch, I'm going to ask you a question, and that question is, do you want to just do 4 weeks, or do you want to sign up for the whole year and go bold? And I didn't really know what I was signing up for. I'd heard a friend had gotten hurt at Camp Gladiator. She had had to take some time off because she had hurt her ankle. And I've heard they do burpees, and I didn't know what a burpee looked like, and you know, it kind of scared me. And I made up good excuses about why I couldn't go, you know. I have to do this video and that takes some time. And my friend got hurt and I can't afford to get hurt. And I got this disc problem in my back and my knees are bone on bone. And there's no reason why I should be doing this stuff at 46 years old. But there is a very good reason. And scripture says that, do you not know that your body is not your own? It was bought at a price, and it is the property of God, basically. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And my body is not healthy, and it is not well, and it is not fit. I'm about 75 pounds overweight. I got degenerative issues in the soft tissue of my body. I'm in need of some healing, but I have not been taking care of this body. So when she asked me that question, I said, well, I'll go and pray about it and ask God. And I really did pray about it, but I didn't really ask him. I told him, Lord, I just want to try this. Also known as, I'm going to sign up for 4 weeks. And here's what I heard running through the tape player of my mind. Oh, you a little faith. Just like we read today. He said, are you going to trust me in this? Are you going to trust me with everything you've got? Are you going to trust me with the weakness of your flesh? I said, what can I say? So when I signed on the dotted line, I checked the box for CG bold and total transformation, meaning I'm going to do it for a whole year. And I know what's sore today in weeks will be stronger, and what's sore in weeks will be stronger again in a few months, and so on and so forth, till I get to the end of this year, and I'm going to have some conquering spirit in me, because I have done the thing. I have acted on my faith. I have stepped out and been bold. What is God asking you to be bold in today in your faith? What is the storm in your life that needs to be tamed? I'm doing it with the speaking thing that I talked earlier about in this week. where I'm building a platform and getting mentoring, and I'm doing it with getting my body healthy, and I'm making some good decisions, and I'm doing it right here on this podcast with you. What is God calling you to take steps of faith in today? Lord, that's what I pray for right now, everyone within the sound of my voice who needs to take a step of faith towards you, who needs to step from the realm of what they know and are comfortable with to the realm of impossibility and discomfort even. Are you calling us to walk on the water with you, God? Let us say yes. Let our hearts cry, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord, with wisdom and clarity. Make your love known to us. Inspire, encourage, and prompt us. Set up divine appointments for us. Do only what you can do. Because we trust you, God. You're our Father, our Good Shepherd. You are Jesus, Holy Spirit. You are all in all. Everything we need from our waking breath to our sleeping rest. You are all we need. I thank you for those within the sound of my voice. I pray you would bless them, pour out your favor, your mercy, your grace on them. Wrap them up in your love. Comfort them with your peace. Give them patience and joy in the moment. Kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control towards other people. Help them to be and see themselves as everything you've created them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it for today. I'll be back on the air on Monday. I'll be posting my podcast on Monday. It'll be available through the Podomatic app on the Google Play Store on Monday or podomatic.com. And you can also catch it on iTunes the following day. Within 24 hours, it posts to iTunes. And so you can pick up the podcast by subscribing to iTunes, and that will post on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Regular post is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I usually try to have those up in the morning. Sometimes I don't get them up till afternoon. And the videos are getting ready to go up on the blog, and I'm getting those all set to go. So if you subscribe at my blog, you'll get an automatic update on those as well. You can also find my art at the blog, things that I've written, just catch up on some things, michellebenthamcreates.com. Follow me on Twitter, @michellebentham. And then there's Michelle Bentham Inspired Artist and Communicator on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Instagram and Pinterest are Michelle Bentham, all one word, lowercase. I hope you're having a blessed weekend. Just want to take a moment to thank our veterans, especially those veterans of foreign wars. I'm thinking right now of my son-in-law, Logan, who serves in the Air Force and has been to the military zones in the Middle East and has served and been with people who have lost their lives. And I'm just praying that God would have mercy on those families who have lost loved ones to the battlefield. And I just pray, you've made a sacrifice, and your loved one has made a sacrifice. And Jesus said that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so I just pray God's comfort and his peace and his rest upon you. For those of you who are actively serving in the military, thank you. I know it's not Veterans Day, it's Memorial Day, but thank you anyway. Today we honor those who serve, and we just bless you in the name of Jesus, and we call out his favor, his protection, his guidance, and his peace on you as well. So tune in on Monday. We'll be in Matthew chapter 9 on Monday. Isn't it exciting? We're hashtag journeying through the Gospels. It's hashtag journey through the Gospels. If you're following along, be sure to share that on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure that we're trending. If you're hearing something from the Lord and you're reading, @MichelleBentham. Read Matthew 9 before Monday. Tune in to the blog and to the podcast on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I am so excited that we're meeting together here online. Let me know you're listening. I'd love it if you would hashtag talk back. Let me know what God's saying to you. You can do that by hitting the contact button or replying in the comments on Facebook or at my website. You can also do that by replying on Twitter or just kind of tagging me @MichelleBentham on Twitter and quote me. I'd love that. Put it on Instagram with a beautiful picture. I'd love that. Or on Pinterest. You can pin my blog on Pinterest. You can pin some of my stuff on Facebook on Pinterest. That's awesome. I just would love to hear back from you. I want this to be community. Let me know how I can serve you as well. If you've prayed to receive Christ for the first time recently, let me know. I'd love to send you a new Bible and some resources to help you get started in your walk of faith and discipleship and relationship with Jesus. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, blooming where you're planted is the first step to living your wildest dreams, and those dreams come from God. And it's my desire to connect you to God's heart through creative expression. Everything shared in this episode of this podcast is copyright Michelle Bentham, 2009 to 2016, all rights reserved. Music is by bensound.com, and the selection there is Tenderness, and we're reading from the Voice Translation of the Bible, which was published by Thomas Nelson Publishers beginning in 2012, and it is used for teaching purposes only. Have a blessed weekend. Have a great Memorial Day. Can't wait to be with you on Monday. That's a wrap.